from the place where the good guys always dress in black.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of your favorite wrestling podcast. This is Ring Respect Radio right here on the Video Bros Network. I am Bobby Munson, and I'm joined, as always, by the man with the angelic voice, the throat of the goat. He is Papa Smokes. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Munson. Here's a shout-out to all my wrestling people out there.
Speaking of wrestling people, Papa Smokes, it's getting exciting times again. We're going to be back doing some ring-type work here soon enough. I'm looking forward to it. PPW Academy is opening up again this weekend for anybody looking to become a potential wrestler in the future. You've got your opportunity set before you. If you're going to be in Saskatoon, in Saskatchewan, or willing to travel here and spend some time learning to become a professional wrestler, check out the Prairie Pro Wrestling Academy on Facebook and reach out to find out how you too can get in the ring and start to train today to become hopefully the next member of the Prairie Pro Wrestling roster. It's exciting times, Papa Smokes. We're getting closer and closer, hopefully, to returning to in-ring action.
Yeah, I can't wait. We've waited long enough. I can't wait to get back to live professional wrestling in Saskatoon.
Yes, it's going to be awesome times. Looking forward to that. And lots of things going on in the world of professional wrestling that we're going to talk about here today. A few different companies that we're going to cover some information on. Thought we would just kind of have some fun here today and enjoy ourselves. Before I do that, of course, we got to do our daily shout-outs. And we're going to start by asking you, the listeners, to go ahead and subscribe to the channel. Give us a thumbs up. Shout us out on social media, all that great stuff. Big shout-out to all of you who have recently subscribed. A lot of you that subscribed came over from watching me over on Love Wrestling. So again, thank you to all the people who supported over at Love Wrestling who are allowing me to be on their show and I guess maybe be the negative voice sometimes that they're hearing on their weekly programming every once in a while. They got to have an old grumpy man there on Love Wrestling, and I guess they got one in me. So yeah, thank you to everybody over at Love Wrestling and all the listeners there that are now tuning into Ring Respect Radio. And also a big shout out to our friends at Backbreaker Media and the Canadian Wrestling Network, who continue to put out episodes of Ring Respect Radio everywhere. We are starting to get out there a lot more, Papa Smokes. It's great to see, and a lot of people tuning in to Ring Respect on a regular basis.
Yeah, shout out to all our new fans. Keep listening to Ring Respect Radio.
Yes, sir. So what we're going to do for you guys here today is have a little bit of fun talking about some recent topics. We've done a lot of talking about older subjects and stuff like that here on Ring Respect. But, you know, we've got a few things around the corner that we're definitely excited about as wrestling fans, including the return of MLW Fusion, which we're going to talk about a lot, probably more extensively towards the end of this program. Right now, though, I think we're going to start by kicking it off. We recently talked Ring of Honor on the show. Not too long ago, we did a review of the, didn't want to call it a cinematic match, a match on location there that we ended up witnessing and really, really enjoying there from Ring of Honor. And it kind of reignited me to start tuning into a little bit of more Ring of Honor as of late, Papa Smokes. And again, I don't know why I don't tune in more regularly, because there is at least a good 75% of what Ring of Honor is doing that I really enjoy as a fan. And let's just start by mentioning it. The women's tournament that they had. Well, maybe not a personal fan of every single competitor in there. And again, that's just my personal taste. It's nothing to do with a dislike for anybody. And they're just some that maybe I'm not as big a fan of, and we won't drop names. But there was some amazing talent in this tournament, accumulating with a great finishing main event for the ROH Women's Championship. And Roxy coming out the victor, being crowned the new champ. I was not very familiar with Roxy whatsoever prior to this happening. So got to check her out in this tournament. And definitely they've got some great star potential there in Roxy and some of the other women in the Ring of Honor women's division. What are your thoughts, Bob Smokes?
Yeah, well, just like Ring of Honor with their men's division, I think it's important that they have a women's division now, because Ring of Honor is one of those stepping stones that allows independent wrestlers to get on TV, on a regular TV show that's watched by a lot of wrestling fans. They can get a lot of experience with a lot of different opponents and some good training at the ROH dojo as well. So I think it's important for ladies wrestling in general to have this platform on Ring of Honor. They can use it as a stepping stone for bigger and better things, or just exist there in what is sure to be an exciting new product, Ring of Honor ladies division. I find it exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's great news. There's a lot out there for women's wrestling in general now. You've got, of course, Ring of Honor doing it. MLW, who we'll talk about later, is going to be bringing in a women's division. And the NWA, who we're going to be talking about, very great at highlighting the women's division. I honestly feel these three companies do well. I mean, we haven't seen it from MLW yet, so the other two companies definitely have done a strong job of promoting women's wrestling and really putting out some, I would say, some very talented women's wrestlers out there. I would say, you know, I mean, fight me on this with any of you listening, but I honestly think that the women's divisions in MWA and in Ring of Honor are far better than anything you'll see on the top companies right now. Don't get me wrong, there is some women in WWE and AEW who are great talents that I would love to see leave those companies and go join a real company. But it goes without saying, they're there right now, and that's why I tune in to watch their matches and that alone. But yes, a lot of great women's wrestling coming out of Ring of Honor and NWA, and congratulations, Roxy, on becoming the Ring of Honor Women's Champion. So I guess Maria Kanellis is kind of the one heading up the women's division there in Ring of Honor, and I got to say, definitely doing a great job so far. I think this is a very fitting role for her in general, and I think she's going to do very well being in charge of the ladies' division there in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and when I watched some of this tournament to crown the new champ, there was a lot of ladies' talent that I wasn't familiar with from the indies and stuff. I haven't gone back and watched a bunch of this stuff, but you got to remember, they're just starting this brand new. It's the debut of a new division. So what can we do as fans? You got to watch and see who you like, see who's good, see who isn't good, and it'll be a work in progress and a development through time. So yeah, if there's not a lot of names that you know in there, it doesn't matter. Check it out, watch it. You'll find new talent that you like.
Certainly will. And speaking about new title changes and new things in general, the Pure Wrestling Championship and Ring of Honor are definitely a new, very excellently well-highlighted championship that Ring of Honor did. And one of the things that I think was a driving force that made Ring of Honor worth watching during the pandemic, no fans in the arena times, the Pure Wrestling Championship. Let's talk about it. There is a new champion crown, Papa Smokes. I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Yeah, and the champion that had been reigning before that, Jonathan Gresham, held that title for quite some time, definitely longer than a year. I don't know the exact time, but he had a stranglehold, shall we say, on the Pure Championship. If you've ever seen John Gresham wrestle, you know why his nickname is the Octopus. He's so fast. He knows every hold. He knows every counter. He knows every submission. He's amazing to watch. And did I mention, Munson, that I saw John Gresham wrestle live, I would say 5 years ago in Saskatoon on a independent show here. And it was just, I wasn't even familiar with him at the time. And to watch him live was mind-blowing. It's I don't know still how he does some of that stuff so quickly with such agility. I'm a big fan of John Gresham, and to have Josh Woods come out and beat him clean, as there's only clean wins and losses in the Pure Championship division. So to have Josh Woods come out there and actually pin Gresham's shoulders to the mat, 1, 2, 3, is just unbelievable. I mean, can you imagine trying to pin John Gresham? It would be like trying to catch a rainbow trout in a car wash. You know, the guy's slippery as hell. So huge congratulations to Josh Woods there. I've got to start checking out more of his stuff because clearly he's getting a big push in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, Gresham is a great wrestler. I love his work, and I love what Ring of Honor does with the Pure Wrestling. I mean, this is basically right up our alley. This is the kind of stuff we like and what we really should be showing our love and support for. You know, while we're on the topic, I mean, if we were to say it right now, I think pretty obvious that the two of us are a big fan of someone that's been a guest on our show before. I would love to see Robert Martyr take part in the Ring of Honor Pure Wrestling. I think that he would just be an excellent fit to what they do over there. He is, you know, I mean, he's a master of doing that kind of stretching technique and everything that they're, you know, so all about over in Ring of Honor right now. I think he'd be an amazing fit, and I think that that would be a great place for him to go.
Yeah, good call. I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly the kind of stuff that Martyr's working on, and he doesn't care about pops and taunting the crowd and any of that kind of stuff. He's there to wrestle, chain wrestling the entire time, and I like that idea a lot. I could see Martyr coming into ROH Pure Division.
Yeah, it'd be great. Hopefully, we'll get to see that. So that's about the news we have for Ring of Honor at the moment. So we want to move on now to the NWA. We haven't talked about the NWA for a while. I've had the opportunity on Love Wrestling to be on the Power Out show talking about the NWA 73 pay-per-view. I was also on the Power Out show following that Tuesday or whatever as Power took place to be able to talk about it. So I've had an opportunity to speak about some of these subjects, but I know all that time I kept thinking to myself, damn, I wish Papa Smokes was here on Power Out with us. So let's sit down and let's talk a little bit about the NWA, Papa Smokes. First and foremost, new NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Sweet Charlotte, the 16 pounds of gold, now is in the hands of Trevor Murdoch, having beat Nick Aldis, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was 1,005 days or something like that as the NWA's world champion, held it with such prestige, gave that title some true meaning in this wrestling industry right now. And what a match that those two had. I mean, it was everything it needed to be to finish that card off, and it exceeded expectations, in my opinion. I loved every second of it. It had the heart, it had the emotion, it had the moments where you weren't quite sure. It's like you've seen it so many times where you think the babyface is going to topple Aldis finally, and somehow Aldis still manages to pull off the win. This wasn't happening that night. They're at the Chase, they're in front of Trevor Murdoch's family, in front of the home crowd. He was doing this for the legacy of Harley Race, and damn it, man, if he didn't do Harley proud that night.
Yeah, including wearing a replica of Harley's old red and blue ring jacket. I thought that was a nice touch too. But yeah, as you say, fighting for the legacy of Harley Race. Man, the St. Louis was a huge hotbed for Harley when he was champion, and even when he was not champion too. And St. Louis has been a huge wrestling mecca throughout the years. And I think it's a great idea that the current incarnation of the NWA under Billy Corgan is reviving the wrestling at the Chase in St. Louis. So we can talk a bit about the history of that show too, because that wrestling at the Chase from St. Louis is one of the biggest and most watched wrestling television programs of all time in professional wrestling. And to bring that back, to bring the show back there, and to do the NWA 73rd anniversary show there as part of Wrestling at the Chase is just tickles me tremendously as a great fan of the old Sam Muchnick era NWA and well, a classic and historic match, and a title change there too for Trevor Murdoch defeating Nick Aldis. Perfect. I have to give it the chef's kiss for that one.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. And the card in general was almost all awesome. I mean, there was a bit of a lull, and I'd say about the middle of the card. It started off hot, looking good. There's a bit of a lull in the middle, which almost could be expected with what they had scheduled. And then the end of the night finished off beautifully. So, I mean, can't discredit them. It was a strong pay-per-view as a whole. And again, didn't feel like I was burnt out after watching NWA Empower, the all-women's pay-per-view the night before, which, again, we were talking about women's wrestling, was a great job by Mickie James going out there promoting women's wrestling. And it was nice to see that Mickie, although she can still go, did not present herself in a matchup on Empower. She allowed that to be open to the current roster and new faces coming in. She took her chance at NWA 73 to have her matchup on that card, which she did an excellent job there as well too. And I think her spearheading this women's division for the NWA is the right direction for them as well, because Mickie James, I've said it many times before, hands down is probably the best in-ring performer when it comes to the women in professional wrestling.
I agree with that totally. And I think a lot of people wondered when Mickie James left WWE if she would go to join her husband, Nick Aldis, in the NWA. And in fact, she did. Some people think she's too big and too popular for that, but I don't think Mickie James cares about that at this point. And look what she does. Rather than concentrating on her wrestling, she produces this entire NWA Empower All Ladies event, All Ladies Night, with matches just to boost their women's division. James brings with her an integrity and history and of excellence, you know. And I have to agree too. I consider her one of the best ladies wrestlers of all time, right up there with some of the other greats, and she brought her star power to the smaller company NWA and made a big deal about Empower.
Yeah, and you know what? Seeing as we're on the subject of star power, not to steer away from women's wrestling at all, I don't mean applaud everything that NWA and Bauer did. We could go on forever about it. We probably will even mention a couple times about them throughout the night. But I want to talk about star power for a minute there, because you're talking about people who are bigger than what the NWA's current incarnation is, lending themselves to it. Let's talk a little bit about the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And he came to NWA 73. He came there to give a big, long speech. And I'm talking long speech, Papa Smokes. I don't know if you managed to catch the entire thing. But, I mean, you would have to invest about an hour of your life to watch Ric Flair's about 30-second retirement speech that he's ever given in the last 20 years of his career. But, again, at the same time, there was no harm in this because this felt sincere. The entire bit of this farewell speech, or this I'm, you know, happy to be in the NWA speech, was everything we wanted it to be from Ric Flair. I mean, he come out, he was thanking all the people who have done anything for him throughout his career. There was no bad mouthing. That was the other nice thing. Ric Flair didn't come out there and start shit talking WWE or anything like that. He actually thanked Vince McMahon. He thanked Triple H. He thanked Shawn Michaels. He thanked all these guys from that he's worked with in the past. And then the list of guys that he thanked from the NWA. And this is the part I really liked, is him going on about being at the bar, and he was able to tip his bartender $100 that night because he used to be the NWA world champion. This is the kind of Ric Flair promo I wanted, I needed. It really was sentimental. It was awesome to see the Nature Boy in this capacity. And I think it put a lot of eyes that hadn't watched NWA under Billy Corgan over to see at least that portion of it, and maybe brought some attention to their company.
For sure. And I think that it's kind of weird to talk about Ric Flair and the NWA, because the NWA that he was champion of is vastly different than what it is nowadays. And we should do this as a topic on the show sometime and get in depth into the meat of this. But the NWA that Ric Flair worked for was an actual conglomeration of regional promoters who worked together and scratched each other's back in order to all make money together. The NWA under Corgan is just a regional promotion. There is no conglomerate or anything. So it is very much like any other wrestling company, just with one roster and a championship. The thing is, it has that name, the NWA, and it has that belt, the domed globe belt, or a Sweet Charlotte, as you called it before. So it has an integrity. It has a feeling about it of the history and the greatness and all the people that held that belt, from Flair and Dusty and Briscoe and the Funks and Rick Steamboat and all the great wrestlers that have held that belt in the past. And I think that's why Rick probably decided to appear there too, is because it's the namesake of his legacy. And what better current living old NWA champion could come and stir up the fans like that, but Ric Flair. Really great to see him out doing some appearances with some other companies since he left the WWE, and for him to come and stroke the NWA like that has got to be absolutely invaluable to Corgan and the other owners there in getting some more eyes on their product.
Speaking of Billy Corgan, now that you mentioned his name again, we've talked about him a couple times. This was one thing I found humorous about the NWA 73, was in the match with the championship between Aldis and Murdoch there. This I found very comical. They started going all out brawl at the start before the ring bell had even gone, and they're fighting on top of the ramp, and Billy Corgan comes out wearing his Smashing Pumpkin Zero t-shirt, looking like Billy Corgan from the 1990s, only 30 years older. And he comes out to try to give all the shit. He's giving him shit for his actions and stuff like that, trying to be that authoritative figure or whatever, trying to get the champ to stop. And Aldis is egging him on. Come on, Corgan, hit me. Why don't you hit me? And, you know, I'm not all for the owners or promoters getting involved all the time, especially on a weekly basis. It's completely unnecessary, takes away from the wrestling. But here I didn't mind it so much. I mean, Corgan does not in any way look like someone who's going to ever step toe-to-toe with Aldis, but he was, you know, he's being a boss. I mean, again, he's trying to be the guy like, I pay your checks, listen to me, or else I'm not going to fucking pay you, dude, or whatever. And Aldis is still lipping him off, like, I'm your champ, I'm going to do what I want. And it worked, because it lasted for all of about 30 seconds to a minute, and then we didn't see Billy Corgan again. He's back to the back. Shit got under control. Match went on. That's all we needed from Corgan. It was a nice little touch to remind people he is still the boss, whether he comes out every week to remind you of it. And when shit gets way out of hand, he will step in and try to say, hey, quit fucking around and get on with your fight.
Yeah. And I agree completely that owners and authority figures shouldn't be overused in that. I've never seen Corgan appear on his show. I think on the old NWA Power, when that first started, he addressed the fans in the at the TV taping before the tapes were rolling, kind of thing, and they showed a couple clips of that. So that's good that he's not using it as his vanity project like some other company owners that we know that come out on the mic, whether they have any skill with it or not, and. And that remains to be seen, of course, too, with Corgan. But yeah, just goes to show you a little bit of something in wrestling can go a long way. Just don't overdo it.
Yeah. And speaking of things that worked again in NWA that night, I mean, I could go on about what didn't work about that night, but a few other titles that changed hands, or, well, I guess the crowning of the first ever NWA women's champions under the Billy Corgan era, I guess. You could probably elaborate that the NWA women's tag titles did exist back in the day there. But yes, Marty Bell and Allison Kay, two very exceptional women's performers. I like both of them. I got more familiar with Marty Bell as she was having matches with Allison Kay at the start of this NWA Power and everything like that. But hey, they make for a good team. I really like Allison Kay's work. So I like the fact that these two women were put together as a tag team. It made sense to me, and they walked away with the championship. I think this was a great decision by the NWA.
Yeah, I hope they have enough solid ladies talent to run a full tag team division. I assume they're going to if they're getting it going, so that's good. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Allison Kay. I keep my pinky up. And Marty Bell, a great new and up-and-coming superstar, and she'll only learn more working with Allison Kay. And yeah, these two looking good. And just another thing, a brand new set of belts, brand new set of champions. It makes an excitement in the air, and it's something fun for the fans. And they're just going to make money out of this, and I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, and you know what? Then talking about like having the strong enough division, the nice thing about the NWA is their willingness to work with other companies. So you can actually take the women's titles from the NWA and have them go down to AAA in Mexico. I mean, albeit to my disgust, go over to AEW or go to somewhere else. I mean, that's the nice thing. It's open platform so that they can kind of go around defending those titles all over the world like the NWA championships should be, in a sense. And that's been the nice thing about Billy Corgan and the NWA. Speaking of which, that brings me to the fact that the tag titles changed hands. So Kratos and Aaron Stevens lost the tag team titles to Mecha Wolf and Basitas 666. I'm just going to say it because I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. Anyway, these two guys came in, and this could have been a mess, in my opinion. I wasn't sure what I was going to think of it in the end, but damn, if this wasn't one of the, outside of the title match at the end of the night, if this wasn't the highlight of the show for me, this match was grounded in a proper tag team title match with Mecha Wolf and Basitas end up coming out as the new champions, claiming that they're going to take these titles straight to Mexico to defend them in AAA and try to hold them hostage in another country. This is great for the NWA. The fact that they have outsiders as the NWA tag team champions also opens up the door to how many different talents that they can bring back and forth between the different companies. And I think it's a fantastic thing, both for the NWA and for AAA and for anywhere else that these guys can go.
And it keeps the hometown NWA fans concerned about their belts and their titles. They want to get them back. They want to cheer on their American hometown team to bring those belts back to the NWA. So, again, I think it creates an interesting situation where, yeah, if they're willing to work with different companies, then you might have your belt sitting at some other company for a while, and that'll get the fans nervous and unsure about that, and it'll cause them to want to cheer for their hometown favorites, bring those belts back.
Yeah, you bet, man. And yeah, so I mean, when it comes down to what was presented over the last little while in the NWA, that is some of the big highlights that come out for me. I could sit here and start to go on about how terrible the Battle Royal was at the NWA 73 and how much I dislike Jedias. He's about as awful as what Tyrus is. And I keep making the joke that one day we're going to get Jedias versus Tyrus, and it will be probably the worst professional wrestling match in history. But hey, that goes without saying. You got to have some crap in with all the good. Anything else that you want to add to the table on the NWA here, Papa Smokes?
No, but as I was thinking about wrestling at the Chase in St. Louis, we should talk about that at some point in more detail. It's got a very interesting history, and maybe we could review a couple episodes of the TV show, because this was done well, done right, and had thousands and millions of viewers even back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So a huge and historical TV program for wrestling that only really wrestling historians and old people like myself seem to watch anymore, but it's well worth discussing. I'm so glad to see it reprised with the current NWA.
Speaking of NWA's history and stuff like that, and people who watch the history, you might have to consider getting my new friend Tim Wood from NWA Gold on Twitter there to come and join us for an episode like that where we can talk about NWA history. I got to meet this guy recently, and what a knowledgeable man this is. He knows his NWA history. He writes a lot of biographies about the history of the NWA champions and the titles that they've held. He has a strong collection of the NWA replica belts as well, too. So if you enjoy NWA, go and check out Tim Wood and talk to this guy. He knows his shit, and it'd be great to have him as a guest here on the show, because I think the three of us could have a good old time talking some NWA history there. So from there, NWA, that's what we got for that today. But as always, one of our big topics here on Ring Respect Radio, one of our favorite modern day companies, is Major League Wrestling, MLW. And I think we've got a lot to discuss about MLW here today, Papa Smokes. So yes, before we even get started going into all the signings and everything that's happened, I mean, we last talked about the MLW at the Battle Riot. Things weren't quite sure about where Fusion was going, whether it was going to a new streaming network or anything like that. But put your minds at ease, listeners, because MLW Fusion, September 22nd, episodes begin to air on YouTube once again. It sounds like this is going to be quite the wild setup here, too, because we know that where we left off was with the Azteca Underground being brought in. We know, trying to think, Cesar Duran, is that the name, I believe? Yeah, yes. Yeah. Anyway, Cesar Duran is now the MLW GM, I guess, and he's also the one that brought in Azteca Underground. So we're going to see a lot of crossover between the Azteca version of MLW and MLW. It sounds like everything's going to be at war, and a lot just going down. There's going to be episodes that will start off with the tapings that happened at the Battle Riot. So anything outside of the actual Battle Riot itself will be turned into episodes of MLW Fusion Alpha, which begins September 22nd. And yeah, from there, we're going to have more tapings coming up on October 2nd in Philadelphia at Fightland. We got lots to talk about with Fightland as well, too, Bob Smoke. So why don't you kick us off? What do you want to start with on the subjects here?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about Fightland. We're going to start with the 2021 Opera Cup.
Good choice.
And we have watched the last couple of Opera. I think there's only been two Opera Cups since they resurrected that trophy, which they found at Stu Hart's house, all dirty and musty in the basement there. They got it detailed and fixed up by the guys who maintain the Stanley Cup hockey championship. So that statue is looking nice and bright and shiny. And after last year, when Filthy Tom Lawler won the 2020 Opera Cup, everyone was kind of wondering what'll happen for 2021. So I think we've got 7 of the 9 participants named for it, or are there going to be 10?
Eight, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 8-man tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
Eight, yeah. Pardon me. Yeah, just announced as the latest participant is Lee Moriarty. We've seen him recently on AEW Wrestling, but in addition to him, we've got Davey Richards, formerly of the American Wolves, Matt Cross. You and I have seen some of his matches on NWA Power, TJP, Filthy Tom Lawler again, and Calvin Tankman. Ooh, that's an interesting addition to the
Yes,
offer
it
card,
really
isn't it?
is. Yeah. And I mean, this is a lineup and a half as it is. I mean, we've got those, I believe you've got those six names down there as well. And it was also announced that a new signing is going to be joining the Opera Cup. We'll get to him in a minute because that's going to be a big subject as it is. But you did mention Lee Moriarty. I believe we got to see him make an appearance at the Battle Riot as well, too. He was inside the Battle Riot. If anyone wants to go back and find his work and also the work of guys like Calvin Tankman and a few of the others that work in MLW, go check out PPW UWFI Wrestling. There is matches available on YouTube. Now, I'm going to say that with a little bit of warning. So if you're listening to this and you think that you're going to go watch this and it's going to be presented the same as an MLW or what you're used to in professional wrestling, get that out of your mind because that is not what they're about. They have a very different style of presenting their professional wrestling. It is more fight-based, more all about the submission holds and stuff like that. It is more closer to an MMA type style in-ring action than it is to anything that you see on modern professional wrestling. But in my opinion, I really enjoy that portion of it, and I like the talent that's coming out of there over to MLW.
Yeah, and that's a little bit like we had just been talking about ROH Pure Division, where really it's just for the people who want to see in-ring excellence all the time. No run-ins, no disqualifications, no gimmicks, no crowd taunting, no none of that stuff. This is all chain wrestling, and the better man wins in every case in this, and it's a pure form. We talked about Robert Martyr. We've come across some of this stuff through him, and it's a world of sport-based wrestling, which turns my crank. I like some silliness with my pro wrestling as well sometimes, but this is very serious and very good. And if you're a fan of watching grappling and submission holds and transitions and reversals, this will be for you. This is good stuff.
It certainly is. So check that out. But yeah, so Lee Moriarty was from there. So was Calvin Tankman, again, another big name in this tournament, a guy who went toe-to-toe with Jacob Fatu just earlier this year, doing an excellent job as well, too, and really making an impact in MLW. I think he's going to make a big splash in this Opera Cup tournament. But then again, he's up against stiff competition. You got last year's winner, Tom Lawler, who, again, has got to be a heavy favorite to win this thing. Davey Richards, who's an absolute legend of the ring and could pretty much, mop the floor with a lot of these guys if he really puts his mind to it. So again, he's going to be a very dangerous man in there. TJP and Matt Cross could be guys that are underestimated in so many ways and shouldn't be. They're very capable, very tough in the ring, very good at the art of stretching their opponents as well too. I think this Opera Cup is going to be a very, very strong showing. And this is just six of the guys. We'll talk about a seventh one here and an eighth one still yet to be revealed that even we don't know about. But maybe we should talk about that. Let's drop the news right now, Papa Smokes. The seventh participant in the MLW Opera Cup 2021. It is announced. MLW has officially signed Bobby Fish, formerly of the Undisputed Era over in NXT, former Ring of Honor star as well too. But now he finally gets to be highlighted as a singles competitor, just like he should be. I think MLW is a great fit for him in the Opera Cup. Jesus Christ. It's like now you're bringing in a guy who really kind of makes you question whether the other guys should be watching out. Bobby Fish is an excellent in-ring performer, great wrestler. He's tough as nails, and he is going to give it his all in this tournament. I guarantee it.
And just as we were talking about a sort of more world of sport or MMA-based style, here comes Bobby Fish. I mean, this guy's got martial arts experience in his background. He's got all kinds of chain wrestling excellence. He's got the kicks. He's got the strikes. I mean, Bobby Fish has got to be loving life right now. His paychecks have gone down a bit, but he's going to be able to do the kind of wrestling that he wants to do. The kind of wrestling that excites him, from what I can see, from what I think anyway. And he's going to be get a whole new roster of opponents, a whole new lease on life on his career in the MLW, and this is going to be good. I can't see a guy like this regretting this move. It's gonna be good for his career, I think.
Yeah, and already he's been called out by Davey Richards. Davey Richards was the one to come out first and said, make this be known that I'm the first one to call you out right here, right now. So Davey Richards hoping to lock up with Bobby Fish at the Opera Cup. I mean, if this was a first-round match, Papa Smokes, I mean, great matchup. But damn, I don't even know if I want to see that in the first round, because I want to see both these guys go a little bit further.
Yeah.
But hey, it goes without saying, I don't see anybody that's listed on this list so far that I don't want to see go far in the Opera Cup. So exciting times for MLW and Fightland. And you know what? Speaking of MLW, Fightland, we got other big things coming up for them as well, too. You got Bobby Fish joining. We have an eighth competitor that's going to be announced yet by Court Bauer. He keeps teasing this could be an outsider coming in. This could be one of the many guys that hasn't even been announced for a matchup on the show just yet. You got guys like the Suplex Assassin, Alex Kane. How about the Judge, EJ Nduka? Like, I mean, this man is going to be at Fightland. He is prominently postered onto this thing, and yet no opponent yet for EJ Nduka. I mean, could it be that he's heading into the Opera Cup, or have they got something else in store for him?
Yeah, maybe they have another specialty match coming up for Nduka. I have the feeling that they're going to push this guy to the moon, and I can see why. He looks great. He sounds great. He's got the body. He's gigantic, and he's got a bit of momentum after Battle Riot with the eliminating 12 other competitors from that match. The guy's a machine, and he's going to be a big news in the MLW. So, yeah, will he have an opponent from the MLW roster, or will they throw him into the Opera Cup? We'll see.
Looking forward to finding out. Can't wait to find out who that other competitor is. Could it be a new name? I mean, again, there's still a lot of names, even from Azteca Underground, that haven't even been entered into the Opera Cup or given a match on Fightland. So lots to be said about what's going to show up at the event there, too. So if you happen to be lucky enough to be in Philadelphia or can travel there, go check out that show live. I know I sure as hell would be if we could get there right now. But unfortunately, due to restrictions, we won't be checking out any live wrestling outside of our own country anytime too soon. Fightland. So we got another big announcement as well, too, that the Japanese buzzsaw Tajiri is going to be coming to MLW. He's going to be joining at MLW Fightland. I don't know how long of a deal this is for, or if this is for a couple appearances or anything like that. Either way, I couldn't be happier. I think that this will be a lot of fun watching Tajiri back in the ring. I always found Tajiri quite entertaining. I like his work. I think he toes that line really well between comical and serious while making it interesting. He's never going to be the top guy, but he was always a guy that I could watch and be entertained by when he was in the ring.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Tajiri will be fun and entertaining to watch. I've seen some modern pictures of him. He still looks good. He still looks in shape to go and all that. But yeah, like you said, he's got a comical side, but his wrestling is immaculate. And that's another thing I think about, having a veteran come in, for whether it's for a deal or for some shots or a one shot. Tajiri can teach some of these younger guys lots of stuff, not only about in-ring work and promos and stuff, but stuff about how to be on TV and how to be a professional wrestler and how to run your career in the world, taking bookings and all that. These guys can sit down with a veteran like Tajiri and learn from him. You imagine EJ and Nduka getting some tips from Tajiri and some of these younger wrestlers. It's a great thing, and I also agree that it will be fun. We'll see somebody get put in the tarantula. We'll see a few other things from the Japanese buzzsaw, and I'm looking forward to his debut.
Before we get to talking about the main event that's going to be highlighted at Fightland, because I know that's going to take up a good chunk here, let's talk about a few of the names that maybe aren't necessarily currently listed on the card, but we know will be featured there. We mentioned the Judge, EJ Nduka. The Suplex Assassin, Alex Kane, is another one that was highlighted at the Battle Riot that I'm looking forward to seeing. Of course, the guys from Azteca Underground, a few of the names that I'm not quite familiar with. But again, we have King Huertes, hasn't been featured yet. Richard Holiday hasn't been featured just yet as name on there. We've got the tag title division as well, too. I mean, that was heating up pretty nice there at the Battle Riot. We have the Champions Los Parks, and then you've got Injustice, as well as, of course, Conan and the 5150 coming in now, and them wanting to take a crack at that. Do you see this as an opportunity for, you know, a standard tag match, or are they going to go the way of a triple threat and add both all three of these teams in? Which, I mean, we said it before last time that they did a triple threat for the MLW tag titles, turned into a bit of a clusterfuck, but I'd like to see it play out over a couple episodes and see more of an earned championship, you know, maybe do something with Injustice in the 5150 before deciding who's going to actually go after Los Parks. Because, again, you still have Ross and Marshall looking to get into that title picture as well, too. So you got a lot of teams, strong teams, in that tag team title picture right now.
Yeah, and we haven't even brought up any other members of Contra Unit either that could be Gotch and Ikiro Kwan, or a Mads Kruger and somebody, or, you know, there's lots of talent that haven't been booked onto this card yet that we know of. So, yeah, I hope that they don't do a multi-tag team match. I tend to find those just quite a lot too busy, take too long, too much of a schmozzle to have three or more tag teams in a match. It's not to my taste whatsoever, but we'll see what they want to do. We'll also have a couple episodes of Fusion Alpha before this pay-per-view, which maybe they can use to pump up the pay-per-view Fightland, and maybe we can see what they're going to do with this tag division, but maybe not too, and time will tell. I suppose we have until basically a little over half a month to stew about this, and I'm sure there will be a tag team title match on this featuring Los Parks versus somebody, I guess. And that'll be good. Whether it's someone new or a tag team that we already have in MLW, I'm expecting a good title tag team match.
Yeah, they got lots going on there and lots to be said about that. Again, I believe Fightland not going to be presented once it comes out as a pay-per-view. The Fightland as a whole card will be there for the people of Philly, but it will be used as tapings for MLW Fusion Alpha. So again, that card will be broken into, say, 2, 3, 4 tapings, however many they do for that particular show. So again, I guess we'll see how they play it out. I'm sure that they'll have it broken into certain segments, as we know ourselves from doing tapings for our wrestling company. But sometimes you just have to book around the idea of your taping individual shows and make the fans understand that are there live. Because you know what? The live fans don't care anyway. They're happy to see some pro wrestling regardless. Hot tag division got lots to say there. And then just a lot in general going on. We've mentioned a lot of the names that currently aren't there. But we got to talk about the main event. This is going to be our big talk of the show and probably what's going to finish things up. This is the match we've been waiting for a long time. Everybody who follows MLW has been waiting for a long time. And if you don't currently watch MLW and you've made it this far into Ring Respect Radio, then get off your ass and turn on MLW Fusion episodes. Check out the work of both Jacob Fatu and Alexander Hammerstone and find out the history of what is going to make this match so special. The best part about this is these two guys have been kept away for so long. This has been a fight for Alexander Hammerstone to be able to get this opportunity in the first place. He went and became the first and only NWA's openweight champion over there. And he has held that belt graciously. And now he wants the big belt. He wants the big boy's belt. He wants to go after Jacob Fatu. He's been vying for that opportunity. But Contra Unit, Yosef Samael have been keeping him away from it for so long. But no longer. That is done. MLW Battle Riot. Alexander Hammerstone overcame the odds, got the big pop, got the big win, and now he gets his opportunity one-on-one with Jacob Fatu. Man, this match is just, it's building up to be what I feel is going to be one of my favorite matches of this year, Pop Smokes.
Yeah, and like you said, they've been teasing this match for damn near 2 years now, since before COVID shutdown. This is what the fans wanted to see. We've talked about this on this podcast before. During shutdown, when very few companies were running, especially on TV, MLW wasn't running, but all their fans were talking about was, when is Alexander Hammerstone going to get a shot at Jacob Fatu, and what's going to happen in that match? Fans have been salivating for it. And really, when you think about it, aside from the two prominent companies on cable TV, this has got to be the biggest match in wrestling, aside from the bigger companies. Everyone's knows about Jacob Fatu. It's crazy that he isn't in a bigger company, but he prefers it this way. This guy's talented, vicious, destructive in the ring. He's held this belt for so long, the MLW Heavyweight Championship. And he's always had Contra protecting him, watching his back. Samael has got his soldiers. Always their main goal is to just protect Fatu and keep that belt around his waist. We saw since Hammerstone has been chasing him, they got Mads Kruger specifically to go after Hammerstone and try and injure him, put him on the shelf, get him out of title contention. It hasn't worked. Hammerstone has overcome Mads Kruger every time he's come up against him. And he's defended his open weight championship successfully all this time. So now it's going to be title versus title. One guy will get both of those belts. And this is going to be huge, man. These are two massive guys. Everyone's watching Hammerstone lifting weights all this time. He's a genetic freak. He works harder than anybody in the business on his body. And that obviously shows. He's got a real good sense of kind of old school wrestling style to him, mixed with a little bit of the new stuff. Fatu's a total beast. This is going to be a tremendous, tremendous title match. It's got that big title fight feel for me. I can't wait. I'm laying in my bed at night thinking about it. I can't wait to watch this match. And I think a lot of fans are the same way. And yeah, will they draw this out longer? It's been a long, slow burn. And like you said, the promoter has been smart to keep them far away from each other all this time. No run-ins, no face slappings, no anything, no contact physically in the ring whatsoever. Very, very smart to do that, and hardly ever done now in the modern wrestling world. But look what they did with this, and we have no hint as to who might come out on top of this because we haven't seen them compete against each other yet. So it's a complete mystery. You got to buy your tickets to find out what happens. And my God, it's going to be huge. It's the biggest match in wrestling, in my opinion, coming up. And I can't wait for October 2nd. We're going to see one guy take all the gold, Hammerstone versus Fatu.
My only downside is that this isn't being offered as a pay-per-view because I want to watch it the night that it happens, because I know for a fact that being involved as we are, somebody is going to report what happened that night.
Yeah.
We're going to know the outcome of the match regardless. It doesn't mean that I don't want to watch it. Like, doesn't matter. I still want to watch these two go at each other, because when I think about it, and I got to ask this question, is – You look at Hammerstone and Fatu, and not just the way this has been built, but how the two of them have been built in general. And you start to look at it, and you got to say, are these two guys not two of the best modern day pro wrestlers when you look at it them as a whole, out of all the modern day pro wrestlers? Like, if you were making a top 10 list, and your list had to consist of guys that had in ring, they had a look, and they could talk or be backed up by someone who does a good job talking for them and selling them. I got to say, these two got to be up there, even in the top five, in my opinion, for current modern day wrestlers. And it's great that they've been booked this way, worked this way in MLW, and built to this phenomenal once. Like, this is the once in a lifetime match that everybody always talks about in all the big companies and stuff like that. This is the match that they didn't give away on free television. This is the match that they will give it away on free television eventually, but they've made it count. They've made us want to see it. They've made it to the point where if I could get down to Philly, I would be hitchhiking a ride down to Philly myself right now to October 2nd to go check this shit out and pop smokes, because that's how much I want to see this match. This match to me has the same kind of level of intrigue. In fact, more of a level of intrigue than what Walter and Dragunov had in their recent match.
Well, that's very high praise then, too, because Walter and Dragunov have been tearing the ring apart with each other. Really, really great stuff. But, yeah, this is another league altogether. They don't have They don't have the pressure of being in the giant companies or anything like that. They're working for Court Bauer. Bauer's got a great sense of how to build stuff. Yeah, and like I say, the fans have just been clamoring for this match and wanting it more and more. And yeah, he's keeping it just for Fightland, just for the live fans in Philly until it gets on YouTube, and then we're all going to be able to watch it. Man, I'm going to turn off my computer and my phone completely so that I don't get this spoiled for me, because somebody's going to spoil it. Even on the live shows, if you watch your Twitter, if you look at Twitter while watching it, someone will spoil it for you, because there's moles and rats in the business all the time. The guy working the concession has seen the little rehearsal, and he knows who wins, so he puts it online. Yeah, I don't want that. I don't need that. I want to watch this as a pure match, not knowing the winner, and I'm just going to thoroughly enjoy the shit out of this.
Yeah, me too, man. I can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome. October 2nd, MLW presents Fightland. It's going to be a great card. We're going to get it turned into those episodes of MLW Fusion Alpha. MLW, we're looking forward to, again, being able to bring you guys weekly reviews again of MLW Fusion coming up here starting September 22nd. And, yeah, that's about all I got on the MLW side there, Pop Smokes, unless you got anything to add on that.
No, we got our new debuting stars. We got our Opera Cup and Fightland reviews all complete here. The only thing left is to watch it and enjoy it.
You bet it will. And speaking of watching and enjoying, hopefully everybody's watching and enjoying their independent wrestling. We're looking forward to getting on a microphone again. Pop Smokes, you and I have been talking about this for a while. I think we're going to get back into calling some matches regardless. We do have some previously taped matches that were not released from Prairie Pro Wrestling that I think we're going to sit down and get down to calling here sometime soon, possibly in the next few weeks. So hopefully you guys will see something from Prairie Pro Wrestling again here soon, albeit that it was taped almost 2 years ago at this point. And then we've got some old footage and stuff like that, matches that weren't necessarily released properly or stuff that we'd like to go back on and take another stab at doing some commentary now that we've had some more time in the business. So I think we're going to sit down and take an opportunity to go back on some more independent wrestling that we've done here. And you know what? I'm going to drop a little bit of a plug. I love wrestling, and I believe Force Pro Wrestling, Monster Pro Wrestling out of Edmonton, if I'm not mistaken. This is terrible. I'm trying to drop a plug, and I can't even get the name of the company right. October 15th, they are actually doing a combined show called Change the Game in Edmonton. This show will not only be taking place live for the live Edmonton crowd, but you'll also be able to catch it if you subscribe on Twitch to Love Wrestling. So you'll be able to watch the matches as they happen on a live pay-per-view on Love Wrestling's Twitch channel. And you'll be able to follow along with some of us that will be there from the Love Wrestling crowd being able to call that. Some great names on that card, including people we work with on a regular basis in Prairie Pro, including Michael Richard Blaze, Michael Allen Richard Clark, Zoe Sager, another one on there. Chris Parrish, who works over at Love Wrestling with me as well, too. So there's a lot of great names. And believe it or not, seeing as we're talking about MLW, Alicia, too, is actually going to be there as the backstage commentator for this particular show as well. So, hey, a lot of great stuff coming to that particular show. So check that out. We'll be checking it out. And I think we'll also probably do an in-depth of review of that show as well, too, sometime here on Ring Respect Radio as well. So check that out. Go check out the work that we're doing over on Prairie Pro Wrestling, and subscribe to our channel over there, because we're going to have some new shit coming for you guys real soon. And from myself and Papa Smokes, we want to thank you very much for tuning in. Make sure to hit subscribe and like, and check out all our social media. Take care until next time.
When you go to the old saloon at the Dead South End, gonna find you a man there who wants to be your friend. If you dare to deny his wish, you'll be dead by dawn. So drink and a smile and then move right on. Rednecks with white faces, don't go putting them down. Rednecks with white faces, they ain't no rodeo clowns. like an easy mark, but he knows the score. One bite from his pointed fangs, you'll be under the floor. Rednecks with white faces, don't go put them down. Rednecks with white faces, they're no rodeo clown. Down. Rednecks with white faces.